They run it left. Hillman off the left side. He's got a lot of room to run inside the 35.
It's a lot of fun, you know, just get out there and just, you know, go up against somebody else that's not our team. And, you know, I feel like we got a lot accomplished. And, you know, we go back tomorrow, get back to work, and get better.
They toss it left side. Hillman gets a block from Virgil Green. Speedster inside the 15-yard line.
Yeah, we ran the ball really well in the first half, and Ronnie had a lot to do with that. You know, I mean, you know, Ronnie's got that gear, you know, that maybe the other guys in our group don't have as far as getting the ball to the edge and those type of things, and it showed up. You know, in some of the zones we had tonight, the ball needed to get to the edge, and he got it there. So, but Ronnie has had a really good camp. He's been impressive in training camp, and lo and behold, you usually show up and play well. So.
I want to thank Nate Palmer for joining us earlier, and right now happy to be joined by former Broncos tight end Joel Dreesen. Joel, thank you so much for taking some time to come visit with us here on Sunday. You know, we were all kind of waiting to see what is it going to look like when Coach Kubiak takes the field as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. This is the first chance for all those guys to start establishing their identity as him in control. What did you see when we were talking before? It looked like he's coaching that game as if it was the Super Bowl or an AFC Championship game. Coach, it's the first preseason game. He doesn't care. He was out there doing what he's been doing all camp.
Sure. Same old Coach Kubiak to me. You know, football is important to him. He is not a head coach for anything else but to win ball games. That's all that matters to him. And he'll tell you that too. But he owes it. He thinks he owes it to the guys who are battling their tails off trying to make their living, trying to, you know, fulfill their dreams. So right. He is just as dialed into these preseason games as he would be if you were playing in a playoff game or a regular season game, because it's important to him, because it's important to his players.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen him in practice call the players together quite a bit in huddles, especially early in practice. It's almost like he was trying to set a message and set a tone. What kind of motivator is he when he's in those sessions with players?
Yeah, well, out on the practice field, a lot of times he's educating the players. He's like, look, this is what the situation is. Here's how I want you guys to think. This is the thought processes I'm using, so everybody can be on the same page and really work together. But as far as motivating goes, you know, our time spent in Houston, we loved Saturday night meetings just because, I mean, you guys have spoken to him. Every press conference he does, he gives a unique answer to every single question. There's no cookie-cutter format to this guy. He's gonna be very genuine. And just like he was the same way with Saturday night meetings addressing the football team. And he'll tell a story. He'll relate to you. He'll go through the schedule. And you just walk out of that room ready to play for that man.
What did you think this offense would look like in the first half going into the Seattle game? And then did it match up with what you thought of afterwards?
Yeah, I was thrilled to see that style of football just back, just huddling up. Everybody knew exactly what they were doing. You know, you mentioned it earlier. They didn't have a procedure penalty. They didn't have a substitution penalty. Right. Very rare when you got an 80-man roster and you're in the first preseason game. So the team was well coached. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they played fast. And just that line surge, running the football, it was just great to see. I love the bootlegs and the play-action stuff. I love seeing my tight ends. Virgil Green had some great, great cut blocks. Mm-hmm. I think he had 5 catches, the big touchdown right before the half. James Casey blocked really well. Those tight ends are going to be a big part of this offense moving forward, but I really enjoyed that style of football.
Now, you've obviously played with Peyton Manning. You've played in this scheme or something similar to it. How successful can Peyton be in this offense, which is kind of different than he's run the last several years?
You know, this is kind of funny, but to quote Dr. Phil, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. Peyton's been great for 17 seasons, and now they're giving him an offense and a lot of help around him, so it doesn't have to be the Peyton show. He's going to be so good. He's going to be great. They keep saying it. You know, Peyton's best friend's going to be this run game, so really looking forward to see how it all comes together, you know, against the Ravens. September 13th, is that the first game?
Yeah.
What about the payoff of not even playing in this first preseason game? The veteran rest days that he and other handful of guys have gotten, the payoff for that, when we were previewing the season, the payoff comes in January, because this is a 5.5-6 month stretch here. How does that adds up, right? When you have that rest in the front end, be okay on the back end.
Sure. As an athlete, as a competitor who, like Peyton is, like a lot of guys are, it's tough to trust that. You always want to be like, look, there's tomorrow's never promised. I got to put in my day's work today and make today count. But no coach has a better feel for the pulse of his athletes, of his team than Coach Kubiak. He sees the big picture, and you gotta trust him that he knows that rest now, just like you said, rest now means you're going to be a little bit healthier down the road. So you got to take in the big picture.
And rest now means work for the younger guys now. And I go back to when you were in Houston in 2011, you know, you got younger guys working in the summer. And then when injury struck late in the year, still had enough to go out there with T.J. Yates, young guy, and win a playoff game.
Sure, and by resting some of your veteran guys, that's the way to establish depth and establish experience, develop younger players. So it's kind of a double benefit. You rest your guys who you know can play while developing some depth and guys who are getting valuable experience.
You got really excited talking about seeing the cut blocks Virgil was doing, right? And then he gets the touchdown. Of course, you're going to jump off your couch. Chris Cooper, in that chair a couple weeks ago, told us how defensive guys just – by the third quarter, they're just so angry they can't deal with getting cut that much during the game. But you got to have some nasty to do that properly throughout the course of the game, right?
Sure. It's definitely there's a learning curve to it. But Clancy Barone, the tight end, or the offensive line coach, in the Brian Perriani, the tight ends coach, they're going to do a great job of getting those guys dialed in as to when to cut, when not to cut. But it's just another tool in your toolbox as a tight end or an offensive lineman when you're blocking. If you have another tool that you can use, you have the defense thinking about it more. Man, am I going to get my legs taken out? Is he going to chop my hands? Is he going to punch me in the chest? It's just and you saw it with Ronnie Hillman running the football, that it opened up lanes for those guys to burst north and south and get positive yards.
And we still haven't seen this offense, at least in gameplay, with Owen Daniels. What is he going to bring when he gets out there from you playing with him all those years?
Yeah, Owen is as good of a tight end as I've ever been around. As far as what he does on the line of scrimmage, run blocking, pass protection, and then he's so difficult to cover. How he sets – I learned so much from him as far as how to run a route, how to set a guy up and beat man coverage. So Owen is a very, very gifted tight end in this offense. You're going to see great things from him.
So you be in town this season? Maybe come to a few games, you hope?
I'll be here. I'll be here. Yeah, holler at me. I'll come work with you guys anytime. I'm having a great time.
We appreciate it. Come join us pregame sometime.
That's what we do. Yeah. You hear that, Mike? He's going to be around. He'll be back on the show. Tight end Joel Dreesen. Joel, thank you so much for taking a minute to join us. And that's going to do it for our Broncos TV Live from training camp here at Buffalo Wild Wings. In case you want to join us again, you got one more chance. We're going to be back on August 23rd, a week from today, if my math is correct. We kind of lose track of what day it is when covering camp. But, yeah, you can come join us on August 23rd for our third and final show. Want to thank everyone who helped make this show come together. Cheerleaders Romy and Emily. Of course, Nate Palmer, Joel Dreesen, Phil Milani, Andrew Mason, Pat Jordan, Mike Bonner, Brian Willey, and everyone back at the stadium punching the show. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, we'll see you right back here next Sunday.
All right, boys. Hey, it's always about winning, right? It's always about winning, okay? That's a hell of a job coming here. You know, a lot of good things happened tonight. Okay, we got a lot of things to correct. We knew that. We knew that before we came in here, and we're going to get that done, okay? But our effort was good. Everybody got a chance to pitch in. Let's just make sure that we keep moving forward as a football team, okay? Proud of you guys. The way to work, okay? Let's keep getting better. I tell you what, hey, Brock Osweiler, come break it down.
Great win, boys.
Broncos on three. One, two, three.
Broncos!